morning when I rise. In the morning when I rise, give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Who can have all this world? Give me.
Amen. Amen and amen. If you can heal, please do so. We're going to pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you once again for being with us as we gather here on this Sabbath. The Sabbath wherein we take part in the Lord's Supper. Thank you so much for blessing us with this ordinance and giving us the understanding of how this is what your Son meant for us to do in place of the feast days. We thank you so much for giving us this understanding and blessing us with your presence as we gather like this. We again lift up everybody on our prayer list, especially those that are lost and those that were mentioned earlier in the text chat. And we thank you so much for loving us, Father, and helping us to be ready for that latter rain. We offer this prayer in the name of your Son, our Savior, our King, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. All right, let me, I got to get to the, for some reason I lost the link. So I got to go to a browser, go to the chat room and hit join us and then pause it real quick. I got to get this URL out of here. Page source. Let's see if it's in there. There it is. Okay. Got to go down all the way down there to get it because I want to put it in the stream the way it should be. Okay. So we got a Q&A Sabbath. We got a blank page. Okay, we got the old sermon notes. I got to leave that one in there. So I got to add a new source. And it's going to be a. No, it's just going to. Oh, yeah, it's going to be a web page. Okay, you take that off the end. Let's see if it worked. Yep. All right, let me pull it down to where it should be. There you go. All right. This is obviously Communion Sabbath. For those of you listening on the stream, you're seeing it now. Let me get all this off my screen so I can get my notes. Because I want to share something, and we've been the Lord moved me to do this a couple, three communions ago. You know, like do a mini sermon, very short sermon, you know, maybe 10 minutes before we do the communion, and that's all of, well, if you don't count the 15 minutes we take for a break to wash each other's feet, it's going to be all of 5 minutes for that. So it's 20 minutes and another 10. Yeah, we'll be 30 minutes altogether like normal. But when I get time, I'm going to be adding this because this is something. I was in prayer. This is amazing how the Lord did this. But first, I'm going to be adding this to my 1 hour with the Beast page for obvious reason. But this is what the Lord gave me when I went into study last Tuesday morning, directly after asking him to bless me with something to share in a mini sermon for today's gathering for communion. He gave me another way to look at the 1 hour. It's like we got so many ways. I mean, we got a bunch of brothers in the faith, you know, sharing this 1 hour, you know, on the 1 hour with the Beast page. I can show that page for you later and during fellowship if you all want to see it on the stream. Those of you on the panelist server, yeah, you already know where the page is at. And yeah, that's what I'm calling it from now, the panelist server, because that's the only way I could figure out, you know, how to separate the two in my brain. Hold on, let me get this fan going a little stronger here. Okay. But I praise his name for this. He gave me this Tuesday morning, like I said, you know, and when I do my studies. But notice the reality, though, first, and how the apostles were ready for something that we have to be ready for, right? They were about to see Jesus, you know, glorified, if you will, on the Mount of Transfiguration, which, in fact, as we know, especially as students of prophecy, that actually emulated the second coming and then the prophetic in how Jesus will appear directly after the Gideon band is finally ready and perfected at the end of the 1 hour with the beast. That just floored me when the Lord gave this to me because we already have plenty to prove the truth about the 1 hour. But check this out. By that time, you know, after, you know, Plague 6, they will have finished drinking that cup. But the false prophets of today want to place that 1 hour before the plague start. That's where it starts, yeah, but they also want it to end there. Here it goes, just like in the book of Esther, the decree is put forth, and then later on there's a date to enforce the law. That's just how it's done. That's how laws have been, you know, passed and enforced for 6,000 years, in fact. And so, when they're finished drinking that cup, and that cup takes them 15 days to drink it, and obviously in prophetic, it's actually the time of Jacob's trouble, right? But the false prophets want to place that at the beginning of the plagues, you know, the peace and safety message is what they're doing there. Jesus even said in Matthew 24, now check this out, this is in Matthew 24, verse 44, all right? When speaking of the final generation, that Mark speaks of in chapter 13. In fact, I'll get to that in a minute. Jesus says this in Matthew 24, verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready. For in such an hour as ye think not, the Son of Man cometh. Did you catch that? In such an hour. He didn't say a day, did he? But notice this. I'm going to read into it a little bit here. Matthew 24, verses 32 and 44. 32:34. Jesus says this. He goes, now learn a parable of the fig tree, which we all know is Israel. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, you know that summer is nigh. So likewise, ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily, I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. And that's that one prophecy the Jesuits like to throw around and say that when Israel becomes a nation, that generation will not see, you will see the second time. You know, they'll do anything they can to confuse the masses. But do you recall what happened back in chapter 17 that made the apostles ready to see Jesus glorified as he will be at the end? Remember, the Mount of Transfiguration was an emulation, an illustration, if you will, about the second coming. It says this in Matthew 17, verses 1 to 3. Matthew 17, verses 1 to 3. This is all going to lead up to that 1 hour. This is so neat. It says, and after 6 days, Jesus taketh Peter, James, and John, his brother. Well, wait a second. There's 12 apostles. He's only taking 3. There's a reason. Continuing. And then it says that Jesus bringeth them up into a high mountain apart, you know, from the other 9 apostles, right? Verse 2. And was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was light, or white as the light. And behold, there appeared unto them Moses and Elias, talking with him, or Elijah, as we call him today. Now, to verify that Jesus allowed this to happen in both reality and in the prophetic, notice what Jesus said 6 days prior, in the last verse of the preceding chapter. In Matthew 16, last verse, verse 28. Matthew 16, verse 28. He said this. He said, verily I say unto you, there be some standing here which shall not taste of death till they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. And of course we know that some of the apostles thought that meant John was never going to die, and that's what a lot of people believe, that Jesus Christ returned in 70 A.D. and all this. No, no, no. But this does lock it all down. If you know how to read the word, if you know how to get in between the lines, if you know how to let the prophecies be defined by the Bible, not by your opinion or by some wolf's opinion, you know. As we know, when Jesus appeared in his glory before Peter, James, and John, he did this in a way to prophetically illustrate the second coming. Jesus was obviously shining, as he will on that great and dreadful day when he returns. But some are still unaware that Moses stood there as well to represent the dead in Christ who will resurrect, because we all know Moses died an actual physical death. And then he was, of course, later he was risen from the dead and brought to heaven. Okay? So that depicts the dead in Christ that rise at the second coming, right? The ones that come out of their graves. That's why Moses was standing there. But why was Elijah standing there? Well, he was standing there to represent the Gideon band, as well as the special resurrection, but we'll get into that some other time. But he's representing those people that are alive at his second coming who are ready. They just got done They just got done drinking that cup in that 1 hour, because Jesus mentions that 1 hour. And that 1 hour is the 1 hour with the beast and the end of plague number 6, making them ready to see what they were about to see. Without going into my 1 hour with the beast page to share 4 or 5 hours of evidence that I and a few of the brothers compiled to confirm all this, let's just go back to what Jesus said in Matthew 24. verses 32 to 34 again. Now learn a parable from the fig tree. When his branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is nigh. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. So in prophecy, the fig tree is defined as obedient Israel. We know this. And that's us. We are obedient Israel today. Even though the many false prophets and the wolves out there are claiming it's the Middle Eastern nation of Israel that openly denies Jesus Christ as Lord and Messiah, how can they be the chosen people when they deny the Messiah? No. And plus, you know, I mean, we need to understand that the Gideon band will grow even more so into perfection so as to make the branch tender so as to put forth the leaves, right? Prophetically speaking, this is why Peter, James, and John were allowed to see the second coming illustrated on the Mount of Transfiguration. They were ready. The branch was tender. They were putting forth leaves. They were, you know, preaching and teaching soon, right? They were ready to go forth and declare. Or in our case, if we're part of the Gideon band, they're ready to go forth and, you know, do that special work as ambassadors in heaven. Okay, just like James and John and Peter were going to go forth and do what they were going to do on earth. They were ready. And so even as we will soon see, just as all the apostles were not ready to see that amazing event before dying 2,000 years ago, so shall many Christians be unable to make it through the plagues of Revelation that are soon to come. Doesn't mean they're going to hell. They just have to die to get home. That's all, because they're just not going to be able to handle those plagues, especially plague 6, the last 2 weeks of it. Only the 144,000, that's why they're the only ones that can see the exile. The 144,000 are going to be the only ones that are going to be ready, just as only 3 apostles were ready 2,000 years ago, instead of all 12, to be able to see prophetically what we're going to be seeing in reality. And to answer the obvious question, yes, this is why so many false prophets in the Seventh-day Adventist Church are saying that the 1 hour with the beast begins and ends at the start of the plagues. When I discovered their popular leaders were preaching this on camera back in 2018, I mentioned the error in a video of my own, because I have been preaching the exact opposite for decades, right? Well, praise the Lord, it got some in the Seventh-day Remnant Church to open their Bibles to be blessed with the truth in all this. But sadly, and because sin had already become the norm for some, well, yeah, of course, it's going to happen. Some left the church to echo the apostate SDA leaders who created an image to the beast with their long prophesied 501c3. But this is not about them. I only mention the apostate preachers to share how that too was prophesied. When a preacher sins, be it in the flesh or via false doctrine or even something as simple as it causes the Holy Spirit to prevent their being ready for the coming of the Lord, it also cripples those poor souls that trust them. But are you sitting down? Here's the prophetic reality of why some cannot see the truth about the timing of the 1 hour with the beast. It's one more of Satan's last few attacks on the obedient people of God. He is seeking to confuse us in the Seventh-day Remnant movement so as to assure many are unready for that day. As an obedient bride who seeks to be in that number, we need to get a handle on this if we are ever to be part of the Gideon band. And yes, this is why we saw what we saw as a church family the last few months and the last few years since 2012. Well, actually before then, but it really was very graphic in 2012 like it was recently. And so there is always a hidden reason for such attacks as this. And unless we stay in our Bibles and on our knees, we will not see what needs to be seen so as to be prepared. If we embrace one lie, just one. That's all Satan wants, is for us to embrace one lie. He knows, Satan knows, he can send another one, and then another one, and another one, and another, all the way up until we join him in the flames. Notice what Jesus said in Matthew 24, verses 50 and 51. Matthew 24, verses 50 and 51, he says, and this is regarding a second coming, by the way, which we know happens when is declared from the throne in heaven that it is done in Revelation 16, 17, which is actually the beginning of plague 7 and the ending of Plague 6. That's when Christ says from his throne in Revelation 16, 17, it is done. That overwhelmingly locks it down. That's when all life on earth ends for that 1,000 years, which just so happens to be directly after the 1 hour that Jesus was talking about with the beast in the last 2 weeks of Plague 6. And rightly so. Think about this. Armageddon, at that point, that's part of the cup, obviously. That's, for some, it's all about the cup, those 2 weeks. We'll be surrounded by everybody on the planet that wants to kill us, the 144,000, if we're in that number. That's Armageddon. And so rightly, this is fitting, that as Armageddon is upon 144,000 during those 2 weeks, Jesus now comes to save the obedient people of God. He comes to rescue his bride from the wrath of Satan and his victims. I mean, was it not written in Romans 12:19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord? And so to put the 1 hour with the beast at the beginning of the plagues, then nothing happens in Plague 6. Why is there a need even for Armageddon if you think about it? Because, hey, Jesus, you're a year late. We've been waiting all year for you to come and save us. Yeah, that'll cause a lot of people to just, oh, forget it, give up. I've had it with Christianity. Jesus Christ comes as conqueror so as to save his precious bride. Those that surround the 144,000 will not only see their weapons fall useless at their sides, they're going to collapse in abject fear and literal worship of us as they finally realize how wrong they were. As a matter of fact, in Spirit of Prophecy, it literally says that the people that fall at the feet of the Gideon band of the 144,000 and they fall in worship of the 144,000 are nominal Seventh-day Adventists. Jesus said in Matthew 24:50-51. Thanks for leaving it in the text chat there, because I kind of went off kilter there and shared Revelation 16, Romans 12. But here's Matthew 24:50-51. The Lord of that servant. Now check it out. This is Jesus talking. All right. The Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him. Now notice how to the letter this prophecy is. Jesus says, when he looketh not for him, and in an hour that he was not, or that he is not aware of. And that's directly after the 1 hour with the beast ends and Plague 7 hits. And it is declared, it is done, right? In Revelation 16:17. And then verse 51 says, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint him his portion with the hypocrites. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And 1 hour in prophecy is always 15 days. Some people are trying to say the time prophecy ended after 1844. No. Giving the dates have ended, but the definition of a day equaling a year, which means an hour equals 2 weeks, that never ends. Well, up until the eastern sky splits, I would think. And so Jesus knows this. He knows that the 1 hour in prophecy is 15 days. He knows this. He's the one that wrote the prophecies. And so to say he meant something else is to question the entire prophetic utterance of the Holy Writ. And that's where Satan wants the wolves to go for, so as to keep the people in the pews well confused to the point where they can't figure this stuff out. They won't explain it clearly to them, because if they do, the people are going to leave the church. And so, as we continue to study the Bible and commune with our Lord each and every day in prayer, so, as well as the Bible, so as to be able to drink that cup when that 1 hour with the beast comes, we gather here today in obedience unto our Lord's command to partake in the ordinance of humility, which is to wash each other's feet, as well as eat the bread, the unleavened bread, and then drink of the cup, you know, unfermented wine, which is just what we call grape juice today. And that cup that we drink today represents our Lord's cup 2,000 years ago on Calvary. So let's break for 15 minutes. I'm going to be dropping a mic here for a second. Whoever's going to be doing the the music, please. It's usually Dwayne, so I don't know, but some of the other guys jump up a lot of times. But let's break for 15 minutes. It is exactly 2 o'clock on my computer here, so in 15 minutes, the music will stop, and we'll come in for the last 5 minutes or so, and that's it. So, and then we'll be reading from, 1 Corinthians, obviously, chapter 11, verses 26 to 29, and then 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. So I do the last part first and the first part last, and there's a reason, just the way everything goes into the way we, eat the bread and drink the cup. So, see you in 15 minutes.
Thank you. Every
Amen. Okay, we're back. Brother Mel put something in the room. I want to read. It further locks down the 1 hour with the beast before we close out with communion. It's from Spiritual Gifts, Volume 1, page 202, paragraph 1. It says, "It was an hour of terrible, fearful agony to the saints. They cried day and night unto God for deliverance. To outward appearance, there was no possibility of their escape." Why? Well, that's Armageddon. They're surrounded us, you know, right? She goes on to say that the wicked had already commenced their triumphing and were crying out, "Why don't your God deliver you out of our hands?" Remember what Goliath said? Same thing, more or less, you know. And then they said, why don't you go up and save your lives? You know, like they said to Elijah. Not Elijah, but Elijah, because he was bald and the teenagers came around. Okay, same thing. So going on, she says, "The saints heeded them not. They were wrestling with God like Jacob." Time of Jacob's trouble, right? This is what it's talking about. And then it says, "The angels longed to deliver them, but they must wait a little longer and drink of the cup and be baptized with the baptism." Remember what Jesus said when the mother came up of the two apostles and said, "Which one, you know, would you have my sons, you know, sit on either side of your throne?" And it says, "Can they drink the cup that I have to drink?" So same cup. Only we won't die. You know, he it's a different cup, but it's still a cup. And so, and then it finishes by saying that the angels, faithful to their trust, kept their watch. And so when the 15 days commence, obviously, that's when it's done. Plague 7 comes, and those that are surrounding us, they drop their weapons as useless as straw. And they actually, some drop in worship before us. So anyway, the reason we're here, communion. We just wash the feet of each other, ordinance of humility. It keeps us humble. It gets us closer to the character of our Lord, our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. He bowed down in front of the apostles to wash their feet. We do the same. You know, and so 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm going to read verses 26 to 29 first, and then I'm going to go back up a few verses. It says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show the Lord's death till he come." In other words, we're acknowledging what he did for us on Calvary. That's why he said that. When we do this, we're acknowledging that they broke his body, which is the bread. They spilled his blood, which is the cup, you know, the grape juice. Verse 27. "Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord." And this is why we tell everybody a week, sometimes 2 weeks in advance, or a month in advance sometimes, get your house ready. Kind of like the Day of Atonement, get everything, you know, get all your sins confessed and repented of. You don't want to bring yourself to communion if you have offended someone. And then that's why you'll see us, like I did it earlier in both chat rooms, if I've offended anybody, please forgive me. Because sometimes you don't know if you offended somebody. Verse 28, but let a man examine himself, you know, like the Day of Atonement. Well, the 10 days prior to the Day of Atonement, obviously. And so let him eat of that bread. In other words, after you take stock in yourself, get rid of all the sins, then you can take part of the bread and drink of that cup, he says. And then verse 29 says, for he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning or caring about the Lord's body or what he did on Calvary, right? And so, now I'm going to jump up to verses 23 to 26, same chapter, 1 Corinthians 11, verses 23 to 26. Okay, it says, for I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you. Because Paul's telling them what he was taught, he's teaching them. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Now, I want to pray before we eat the bread or drink the cup. So if you could please get on your knees, and then when we're done praying, you can sit back down and you can finish by drinking the grape juice. But if you can heal, please do so. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for blessing us with this ordinance, the supper that our Lord did. And Jesus, thank you for what you have done for us 2,000 years ago and for sending your Holy Spirit to guide us each and every day like this, like we've always said. Our Father, he provides for us. You, Jesus, are the one who died for us, and the Holy Spirit is the one who guides us. And so thank you, all three of you, for helping us get to the point we are in our walk at this time, and help us to get even better so that we can be in that number. And so please bless this bread and bless this cup of grape juice. And bless us for continuing to do this in obedience unto your Son, Father, because we know what he said at the Last Supper. And so we're doing this to acknowledge what he has done for us 2,000 years ago. When we eat this bread, we acknowledge that his body was broken for us. And when we drink this cup, we acknowledge that his blood was spilled for us. And we will do this all the way up until the time we can't. Or during the 1 hour, in fact, because we can do this during the plagues. It's not going to be an issue. It's that last 2 weeks might be difficult. So, we don't know. We haven't gotten there yet. And so thank you for blessing us while we do it now. And we pray this prayer and offer this praise to you for what you have done for us, all three of you. We thank you for this and blessing us with your presence as we do this. In the name of your Son, our Savior, our King for all eternity, the one who died for us, the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen and amen. I like to keep all three involved in this kind of a thing because all three were involved at his baptism and at his death. And you could easily see it at the baptism because the Lord Jesus was on the planet. The Holy Spirit was floating above him in the form of a dove. And the Father was literally speaking from heaven at his baptism. Can't get around that one. Although they try. That's why they remove verses like 1 John chapter 5, verse 7. They rip it out and say, oh, that shouldn't be in the Bible. Yeah, well, those who take or add to that book, the curses of the plagues will be upon them. And that's what the Bible says, and that's what's going to happen to them. So with all that said, eat the bread at this point that we have just prayed about. And before we drink the cup, I want to read the remainder. I think it's verse 26. It says, after the same manner, also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye. And then he says, as oft as you drink it, in remembrance of me, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come, which means you acknowledge what he did for us 2,000 years ago, up until the day he comes, which is, of course, at Plague 7, or the end of the time we literally drank our cups. And so with that said, drink of the cup. Thank you, Lord. And with that said, the service is over. If someone could please share a song, we will end in prayer after that song. I never heard that one before. That one's nice. I like that. If you can kneel, we'll finish in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for being with us as we gathered here on our blessed day, the Sabbath day, and the day that we take part in the Last Supper. Thank you so much for giving us this and reminding us every 3 months that what you have done, what your son has done, and it's just an amazing time for us, and we thank you so much for being with us and helping us stay in the middle of the path, not going near the edges, so that we can overcome the flesh perfectly and go forth and do exactly as we were prophesied to do. And so thank you, Father, for that, and all the blessings that are coming, and the changing of the showbread today as well. Yes. Well as what your amazing son did for us. And it is in his name, a name, the name above all names, that we offer this prayer, this thanks and this praise. And his name is Jesus Christ. Amen.